Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We saw last time Paul gearing up to go on his second missionary journey. And that is in fact what this is. Special gift for you of the second missionary journey of Paul. There you go. You probably have a map in your Bible, and you can use that. That's just fine. This one's a little bit larger, so maybe it's a little bit easier on the eyes. So as we've seen here in Acts, saw the gospel going forth and God empowering his witnesses to go forth and, yeah, just leave them there, it's fine. Give the gospel. He's doing that through the Apostle Paul at this point in the book of Acts. We saw the co-workers of Paul being gathered. And last week we looked at Barnabas. Barnabas was a co-worker on the first missionary journey, and then we saw how they had a disagreement concerning Mark, John Mark, and so they had to go their separate ways as a result of that, and then they added Silas. Paul added Silas, then Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus. Another missionary team went out there, and you can see on the map how that if you start down in Jerusalem, remember the Jerusalem Council was what just happened, and then messengers went back up to Antioch where the questions had really started about that discussion there. Was it necessary to keep the law of Moses for Gentiles? So they go back to Antioch, and then it's there where these co-workers are gathered that we looked at last time, and you see the little dotted line. That's where Barnabas and John Mark, they go over to Cyprus. And Paul and his team, which is now Silas, they go up, start revisiting the churches where they had been on the first journey. And that was Lystra and Derbe, that area there. And there's another co-worker that's gathered. And you remember that was Timothy or Timotheus. He was from Lystra and Derbe. And so he joins that missionary team, and that's where we pick it up here tonight, and we see the westward progression here in Acts 16. It really is a turning point where the gospel now goes west, and that's not talking about, of course, California, although eventually, many, many years later, it's talking about Europe. The gospel goes to Europe, goes west to Europe. And it's here in Acts 16 that there's a transition, a watershed moment here where the Holy Spirit guides this missionary team to go to Europe. And so I'm going to begin reading here in Acts 16 and verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So here we see the plans that are made here. The journey progresses. You can see these arrows on the map. And we have here verses 6 through 7, different areas that are mentioned. Certainly plans are being made, strategies are being formulated. But what we see in this passage is that Paul is not the one in charge. Silas is not the one in charge. Timothy is not the one in charge. God is the one in charge here. God is the one who is guiding this missionary outreach. And we see how he does that here in verses 6 and 7. How does God guide these missionaries? Well, first way that he does that is God closes doors. God closes doors. First of all, he closed the door to Asia. Now, you remember that when the Bible talks about Asia, especially here in Acts, it's not talking about the continent of Asia. It's talking about the Roman province. And there on the map, you can see there in Western Asia, there's a province. The dotted lines are kind of faded there, but it marks out a province of Asia. That was the area where the seven churches of Revelation are located. They were there in that area of the province of Asia. And evidently, Paul wanted to go there. Perhaps he wanted to go to Ephesus, which was the main city there in that Roman province of Asia. And we know he went there eventually on another journey. But God closed the door to Asia. They wanted to go there, but God closed the door. It says here that in verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Word there means to cause something not to happen, to prevent, to hinder. The Holy Ghost, God, prevented them from going into Asia. Say, how did he prevent them? I don't know. Did he speak to them audibly? Perhaps he did. Silas was a prophet. Perhaps he gave a message to Silas. Perhaps he gave a message to Paul. Perhaps somebody got sick and they needed to go somewhere else rather than Asia, a place where they could get treatment. The fact is, we don't know how God closed the door. But God did that. He closed that door. Then he closed the door to Bithynia, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, you can see that on the map there, a city there just to the north of Ephesus. And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. So Bithynia is a province up to the north there along the Black Sea. But it says the Spirit suffered them not. They essayed to go here. The idea is they attempted to go. They tried to go. Words used there in Acts 9:26, after Paul was converted shortly after that, it says he essayed to join himself to the disciples there in Jerusalem. But they were all afraid of him, believed not that he was a disciple. You know, he had tried different things in the past, and it didn't work out. It wasn't God's will. But whatever the case, again, the Spirit clearly suffered them not, it says. He did not permit them to go there. So they went another direction. We find out that's Troas. There you can see that city. Up to the north there, the city of Troas on the coast is where they are able to go. But God was guiding here, and he did that very clearly through closing doors. You know, it had been quite a long journey. I should have figured out how many miles this was from Antioch in Syria all the way over to the other side of the continent, you know, all the way over there to Troas. But it's a long way. I guess we have the kilometers down there, so we could figure that out. But very long distance to travel. Remember, back in the first century, this would have been a serious undertaking to travel to all these places. And so here they are, the missionary team, they've got their team together, they're traveling along, trying to find an opportunity, some way to go. And what have they done so far? Nothing. Haven't done anything yet. Seems to me that would have been very frustrating. Probably by this time, however much time it was, they would have been thinking, you know, we came all this way for this. Here we are. We're all the way across Asia here and all the way to Troas. What are we doing? This wasn't how it was in the first journey. This is quite a bit different now. But the reality was that God was pushing them to Europe. God had a place for them, but it wasn't in Asia or the province of Asia. And it's just a reminder to us that the way that God works is sometimes by closing doors. And we may try to do some particular thing or to reach some particular person, and it is just shut down. You know, the door is closed. We aren't able to do it for some circumstance. We wonder, what is God doing here? Why are we in the situation? Well, God is in charge. Sometimes He closes the doors, and we can't do what we think we should do. But God's the one in charge. So He works by closing the doors here. But another way He works, you can probably guess, He works by closing doors. And how else do you think He works? He works by opening doors. That's what we see here in verse 8. Passing by Mysia came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." So here we see how God opens the door here for this missionary team, and He uses a vision. The vision happens to him where they're at Troas there. You can see it on your map. And this is not far from Troy, ancient city of Troy. Remember the Trojan horse? That's where that supposedly happened. And that is where Paul had this vision at night. Now notice something. It was not a dream that he had. It was a vision. There's a difference. A vision is a way that God reveals Himself, reveals messages in the Bible. A vision. Paul had a lot of visions. And a vision could be had in the day or in the night. Maybe Paul was sleeping, maybe he wasn't sleeping, but it happened to be at night here. Paul had other visions he tells us about in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. He says, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And he tells us about another vision that he had, where he's taken up into the third heaven and permitted to see things that he was not permitted to talk about. And that was a vision. Here was another vision. This was a revelation from God. It was not just a figment of his imagination. That's more like a dream. You probably had some dreams maybe last night or this past week, and you think, where did that come from? And was it something I ate? Was it, some other reason why? Are you doing too much? And, got all these dreams that are coming to you. That's different. A vision is what Paul had. Vision from God. A revelation. Then we see that it was a request. God presented this vision to Paul. And here was a man clearly from Macedonia in this vision, and he spoke directly to Paul. He says, "Come over into Macedonia." Why do you say that? Well, because that's what Paul would have to do. He would have to come over. He would have to cross the sea, the Aegean Sea there, to get over into Macedonia. And then his second request was, "and help us," to come to the aid of. It's a word that refers to help, physical type of help, but also spiritual help. We see an instance of both of those in Mark chapter 9, where a man comes to Jesus for his son's sake, and the demon-possessed boy. And he says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, the man wanted Jesus to help his son. He had a physical problem. And then as Jesus deals with him about his faith, he says in verse 24 of Mark chapter 9, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Well, that was a different kind of help the man needed. That was a spiritual help that this man needed. And certainly in this case, this was a spiritual help, a request for spiritual help from this man in this vision that God had given to come in Macedonia and give that. There's another co-worker that appears here. Do you know who that is? Verse number 10, we have another co-worker that we haven't heard from directly anyway, and that is the writer. After he had seen the vision, immediately, who? We endeavored to go into Macedonia. Who's that? That's Luke, Dr. Luke. All of a sudden, Luke speaks in the first person here, and he includes himself. Luke was here, and where did Luke come from? Was he there in Troas and he joined the missionary team? Did he come from Antioch? We just don't know. But for whatever reason, at this point, he was there and he was a witness to what happened here. And he speaks in the first person as he does in other places in Acts. So the missionaries all get together here, verse 10, and they agree that this is the call of the Lord. Verse 10 again, after he'd seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had, what? Called us for to preach the gospel unto them. They all agree that this is the call of the Lord. The word call here has the meaning of summon. And we find it in the Bible, it's used of salvation. There is a call that the Lord gives for salvation, and that's obviously not the meaning of it here. It's also used of a summons, a call to a specific task. We saw that back in Acts 13 with the first missionary journey. As the Apostle Paul and Barnabas were there in Antioch, there the Holy Spirit says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God had called Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul, to a work, to a specific work here. And that was true at this case in Troas. They believed they had come to understand that calling. It says here they were assuredly gathering, verse 10, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel. The idea there is that they came to this decision with a process of putting together different aspects of related information there, the idea of assuredly gathering. What information were they putting together? Well, I would imagine that it would be the doors that had been closed. Okay, we can't go here, we can't go here. Paul had this vision, this revelation, this man asking to come to Macedonia. That must be what God wants us to do. That must be the call of the Lord here. And they felt sure about that. You know, the Macedonian call is kind of a famous way of describing the need for missions, and sometimes there's the picture of all the heathen in the world calling out to come and give the gospel in all these parts of the world, and it's in the song, we have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light. All right, and it's a great missionary text here and idea. You know, there were certainly people all around that were in need of the gospel. Certainly people in Asia. There were certainly people in Bithynia where Paul had tried to go. But it was not God's will for them to go there. It was God's will for them to go to Macedonia. So the Macedonian call, we think of that is, yes, there is a general call to witness to everybody in the world. But the Macedonian call here, it was a call of the Lord for a specific task that God had for these people, to go to Macedonia. And I think the application is, yes, for us to bring the gospel everywhere, but especially where God opens the door. Because that's what God had done for this missionary team. He had opened the door for them. And that Macedonian call means they need to go there, the place where the door was open for them to go. Perhaps God has a door for you. Perhaps it's a person for you to go to. And that door is wide open for you, and there's an opportunity for you to go and to reach out to that place or that person. And you say, I don't really want to do that. I want to go over here. Well, the door may not be open there. Go where the door's open. Macedonia. That's where the door was opened for Paul and his co-workers. And so we see that they obey that call, that specific calling that they had to go to Macedonia here. They make plans to go, and they set sail from Troas. Verse 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia. The idea of coming with a straight course is actually a nautical term for sailing in a direction where the wind is in your favor. And literally, that was the case here in this journey, that the wind was helping them. And in just 2 days, they were able to get to Macedonia. They got to Samothracia, which you see on your map is a little island there in the Aegean, and stopped there. And then the next day, made the rest of the journey to Neapolis there in Macedonia. And then they come to Philippi, verse 12, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. They come here to Philippi. Philippi is a city that was named for Philip II, the father of Alexander the Great. And it was an important city there in Macedonia. Luke calls it the chief city. It was not the capital of the region there, but perhaps an important city in some other way, perhaps the educational opportunities that were part of that city, which we know to be true, also the economic resources there. There's a center of gold mining there, and a lot of gold coming out of that region, and boosting the economy there, and perhaps other reasons why it was a chief city there. But that's where they decide to go, to Philippi. A colony, it says, a Roman colony. It's part of the Roman Empire there. And so they live there a few days. And then we see how God begins to work here. And he does that by beginning a work in the city, in Philippi. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Apparently in Philippi, there was not a Jewish synagogue. You remember that Paul's basic methodology in giving the gospel was to go to that synagogue. We see him doing that in the first missionary journey. Finds a city, he goes to the synagogue, and there he has an opportunity to get up and teach out of the scriptures and show how that Jesus is the Messiah to these Jews, and that leads to giving the gospel to Gentiles as well. But it doesn't seem like there is that opportunity there in Philippi. We understand from history that in order to have a synagogue, there had to be 10 men that came together to form the basis of a synagogue. And it could have been that there just wasn't the men there to be able to have that synagogue. Another reason could have been that there was some persecution of the Jews, as there was in other areas of the Roman Empire. And perhaps they were not allowed at all to have a synagogue there. And so we find on the Sabbath day, that there are people that gather for prayer by the riverside there in Philippi. And so Paul and his team, these four men, find out about that, and they decide to go to the riverside on the Sabbath day. What do they find there? Women. Women. A few women. So wait a minute. There's supposed to be a man here in Macedonia, and where's the man? He was saying, come and help us, you know, and there's some women that are right here. This one commentator said the man of Macedonia was actually a woman. I wouldn't say that in today's day and age, but that was an old commentator anyway. You know, God had these women that were there. They were gathered for prayer. And we find that the missionaries start there. There don't seem to be too many people at the service. But we find that the four missionaries don't turn away because the crowd is too small. They don't say, now where is the stadium filled with people for us to begin our campaign? You know, where is that? This is too small for us. No, that's not what they say. They begin with what God has led them to, the small group of women, and we find that God used it mightily to start a church in Philippi. So God begins this work. How does He do it? He begins with a humble setting. He begins with a humble setting. Small group of women meeting by the river to pray. And then we see what happens next here. They begin to speak to those women. Ladies, can we tell you something? We'd like to show you something that God has given to us. And we'll start with these scriptures here. And they begin to proclaim the message that God has given to them. And then we find that that affects one of these women here. Verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Here was a businesswoman from Thyatira. You can see Thyatira on the map here, a city in Asia. And she ended up over there in Philippi. And we're told that she was a seller of purple. Not purple crayons or markers, of course, but purple fabric. All right? Purple that had been dyed with the ink from the little shellfish. And they're only able to get just a small amount of dye out of those little shellfish. And it takes an enormous amount of those to get enough dye to be able to get that rich, dark purple fabric. And it was expensive. This was high-dollar material here. And here was Lydia. She was involved in the buying and selling of that, supplying that purple fabric. And she was religious. Perhaps she had been attracted to the Jewish faith, and there she was gathered with others for prayer by the river. And here come these missionaries, and they begin to teach the scriptures and explain the gospel. And as they do that, something happened. What was it? It says, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord enabled her to perceive and to understand. Same thing that the Lord did to the two on the road to Emmaus. He said to those two in Luke 24, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That's what God did to Lydia. He opened her heart. He caused her to understand. He caused her to come to believe as a result of that understanding and to be saved. And it says here that she attended unto the things, which means that she paid attention. One commentator said this, the Lord opens the heart, but the hand with which He lifts the latch and draws the door is the word which He makes us hear. And the door opens, as we need, keep holding our mind to what we hear. Yeah, that's the way that the Lord works. He works through the Word. He opens that door, and the latch is the Word. And the missionaries were there. They were teaching the Word, proclaiming the Word. And as they did that, God caused this woman to understand and to believe, and she got saved. And we see that it wasn't long after that she was baptized. She identified as a believer in Jesus Christ. She didn't do that in order to get saved. She did that as a response of obedience to the Lord, to identify. And then there were others. That led to others. Talks about her household there in verse 15. When she was baptized in her household, there were others that came to hear this message, and that the Lord opened their heart as well, and they were baptized. Her family, we don't know whether it was her children or other nieces or nephews or perhaps even some servants that she had in her house, but those that were part of her household also came to believe and to understand. God worked. How did He work? Well, He worked through a very humble beginning there by the river. He worked by the proclamation of His Word. Simple proclamation of the Word of God. God opens hearts as that's done. That's how God worked. He started this church. And then we see how He uses the simple gift of Christian hospitality here. Notice what Lydia does. She says, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. She wanted these four missionaries to stay with her. And perhaps she had the means to do that. She did have the means, to invite four men and provide them lodging there into her home. And also to provide a place of meeting for the beginnings of this church at Philippi. This was the start of the church. And it began as someone was willing to open their home and allow God's servants to come and to stay there and to minister there to people that come in. We find at the end of chapter 16 that they come back to her house and they see the brethren there and they encourage them. There was another meeting there of that church. We are not the ones in charge. We're not the ones in charge of the work of spreading the gospel all around the world. We're not in charge of it. We're involved in it. But God's the one in charge. And we serve under His direction and His guidance. We need to be sensitive to the Lord and find the place of His specific calling for us. That may mean waiting a little bit and having doors closed on us. And our praying and asking, "Lord, where do you want me? Who should I be serving? Where should I go?" But the Lord is the one in charge. And we need to rely on the Lord and rely on the methods that He's given us to proclaim the Word and to rely on Him to open the hearts. That's not our job. We can't force that to happen, but God does that as we explain the Word, proclaim it, give people the gospel. Our trust needs to be in God and in His direction. He knows what He's doing, and we need to trust Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You are in charge, and we realize tonight that we need to understand the place that You want us and the people that You would have us to reach, even as You had these missionaries to go to Europe and to go to Macedonia, to go there to Philippi. Father, we pray that You would use us and lead us. And we pray, Father, that You would work even as we would proclaim Your Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ that You have given. And we thank You for what You will do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.